Okay. In the name of Jesus, we continue to study the book of Genesis. Before we continue, there's a question related to the class. Okay, so why did God not say it is good for the days of creation, day two of creation? If God didn't say it, we don't know, right? We can only guess. So if we consider the second day, God separate the waters above firmament or below, right? So years later, the waters above the firmament will eventually come down and destroy all things. So this is what I think. Because God's creation actually is for good. But God already knows what is going to happen. So this water above firmament eventually will become a tool to judge it, all the sinners. So you see how God used this firmament to judge all the as a judgment, but also after the flood, and then God showed his covenant in the firmament too, to make a covenant with all humankind, descendants of Noah. Okay, so this is what I can think about it. Why God didn't say it is good on the second day. All right. So if you have questions regarding to the class, please ask. So we can save some time from Q&A section. And the other question is from yesterday. Yes, Joseph. He speak himself as what? Pearls. Okay, we were mentioning this. Yeah, we haven't finished yet. Okay, regarding to this first event, creation, it's a lot. There are so many different questions that we may have. Okay. So, in the chapter 1 and chapter 2, these are two, the same event, but Bible describes it in two different angles. So if you consider the chapter 1, you will see God, Elohim, this is God in Hebrew. Always use God, this word. But in chapter 2, you see God actually, the author, especially describing the law of God, right? In Chinese, it's Yehuwa Zhen Shen. It's different. And then you will see how, actually, from the human perspective, the second chapter is all more related to the history. Mention the man is the center, the most important the figure. So in this chapter 2, you will see how actually from chapter 2, verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, this is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the days that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown. For the Lord God has not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. So, again, mist, the water, appear already. So it described the same creation, but from different view, to make it more clear about salvation. So in chapter 2, five matters is all the beginnings related to our human being. So in this chapter, we see the beginning of Sabbath, the beginning of humankind, the beginning of the first garden of God, and then the first commandment and the first marriage. It's all the beginnings, all related to our life. It's talking about our salvation. Okay, so the first Sabbath, from verse 1 to verse 3, actually, if divide the chapters, this section should be included in chapter 1. It's more, cut it more clear, right? But anyway, now Bible already said a different chapter. So chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, is just continuation from the previous chapter. So after 6 days of creation, God had rest from his work. So on the seventh day, he rest, he blessed this day, and he sanctified, he separated. So he made the seventh day different from the rest of the 6 days. So we know God is almighty. He doesn't need to rest. How come he specially established this day, separated the seventh day, and he said he rest? For what? According to Isaiah 40:28, also Mark chapter 2, when Jesus, he mentioned about the Sabbath, he specially emphasized Sabbath is for men, not men for Sabbath, right? So we know how God, he prepared the salvation from the beginning, because he made us, humankind, out of dust from the ground. So with flesh, we get tired easily. Physically, we do need rest. Mentally, we also need rest. Spiritually, we also have to consider how to develop a relationship with God, because we always have to think about our origin. Our life comes from God. So no matter how busy we are, or no matter how wealthy we have, how many possessions we own on the earth, we always want to get closer to this Almighty. So God himself is the one can really give us rest, fill our void part in heart. So this is a Sabbath. So the meaning of a Sabbath, I believe we have been taught many times about basic belief. So if we count, God said in verse 3, he said, then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So remember God's creation for all things in the world. This is the reason why when God proclaimed these Ten Commandments to Israelites, actually to all humankind, it's a common commandment everyone has to keep. Special mention about his creation in the beginning. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, this is the second law. So when Moses reminded Israelites about God's the law, and in chapter 5, he repeated the Ten Commandments. In verse 15, he special emphasized the redemption, how God saved his people out of Egypt, where they were slaves. They have no freedom. They have no rest. Right? Physically, they have to labor until to die. This is a reality of life, but God saved them out. So always thank for God's redemption. So today, we also think about how God saved us out of the snare of sins. So on Sabbath, we remember God's grace. And also, in Exodus 31, verse 13, when Moses repeat the importance of keeping the Sabbath. He mentioned this is the covenant. It's evidence showing we are his chosen people. So when the rest of the world are busy in their own pleasure, indulging all the physical world, we separate ourselves into his temple to show to this world, I belong to God because I observe what he said. Number four, receive the blessings by observing the commandments. So in Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14, I believe we are familiar with this is the always reminder, weekly, think about what I supposed to do on Sabbath. Right? My word, my heart, my deeds. Am I really receive the rest, the blessing? This is God's promise already. Those who believe and practice will receive it. And he will lift us up to the higher place. We don't have to worry because he will use, he's become our inheritance. Number five, look forward to having the eternal Sabbath. So in Hebrews chapter 4, in this last week, you learned the book of Hebrews, right? So you know how important every Sabbath we're looking for the eternal rest. So if we consider in Nehemiah chapter 13, after the exile, the captivities, Nehemiah reminds them why they end up in such a tragedy. They lost everything. Their country being destroyed totally. Why? Because they don't treat God's commandment, especially the Sabbath, as serious. They don't matter. They don't consider this is a real matter. But end up, they have to pay the price totally. Right? So this is how a sinner when people sin against God, the price always you will receive. The consequence is there. Sooner or later, you will know. Okay? So, Sabbath. This is the first Sabbath. It's very important. So, this is God's setting. So, our routine. This is a cycle. Every 6 days, we have to work very hard. Just like how God do everything in 6 days. But he rest. Let's do it. Let's repeat. And then, verse four to verse seven, this is the first human being. How God created Adam out of dust, right? So, if we consider animals, all of the living creature, living things, the things in air, in the waters, right? Or we may see something out of the space. Aliens. Who knows? We don't know. Because we only know about on the earth, God created. But no matter what, we know this all comes from God's creation. If God created, why? We will know eventually. Right? But to us, we have to focus on the earth first. So consider all the living things. Animal and human all have flesh. Because if we study biology, we know how the life with different forms, right? Bacteria, virus, single cell, even just a DNA can survive if you put a good environment, right? So now we all have a physical life, but see all the living things, especially for animals, have emotion, have will, have wisdom. So you see how dolphin, very intelligent, right? Some dog, also very smart, right? Can also actually can pray. We have I already met a couple members, pet. Their dog actually pray with them. When I visit them, pray together, the dog just come and then sit there. We call the dog, come, and then pray together. The dog also sounded. It mimicked how the master prayed. You know, the whole prayer, the dog also prayed together. You see how smart, right? And also, some dog can say, you give thanks, bow your head, and then the dog also talk before he or she can eat food. So obedience, right? So emotion, but sometimes dog is also very stubborn, right? Just like a human being. So all have an emotion, will, and wisdom, similar to human. But the human being is different because we have this breath of God, right? So the spirit of a man is the name of the Lord. Proverbs 20:27. This verse actually telling us the spirit which God put into human being is a lamp of the Lord to guard all our heart. So we have to always search for our heart, the inner depth of his heart. So it's conscious. Where it come from? The conscious come from this breath of God. Lion or crocodile, anything, when they eat human, they don't feel guilty. Right? No, they don't. They just treat the human being as a delicious meal. Right? But as a human being, once we murder someone or even hurt someone, we always are guilty. We, in our conscience, we know it's wrong. Right? So God gave his breath to man so man can communicate with him. It's unique among creatures. No any other living things can get together and say, hallelujah. No way. Only human, right? So we are special. In the record of the all creation, the description of the creation of man was uniquely written. If you look at how Bible describes all the creation, if you compare with others, so we will see how this difference is there. First, in chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, right? Let us, here is plural, let us. Why? Why God used the us? But for the rest of creation, it is just the person God said, let there be. So God used his word, said, is that a third person? He just described what is going to happen, right? But to human beings, he said, let us make man in our own image. We have been separated from the rest. Okay? So, chapter 1, 3, 6, 14, all let there be, and then light, right? And the firmament just appear. All right. Second, the pearl. Let us, if we consider not only this verse in chapter 1, but also chapter 3, 22, chapter 11, 7, or Isaiah 6, 8. All this, God said, us, pearl. This is to emphasize the abundance of God's essence. God, He is the owner of the whole thing. The whole universe belongs to him. He can represent all things. Today, every individual are so unique. So nobody can really represent you, even your parents, right? The United States, the president cannot represent, I am the whole United States. No. No way. Because he's not the ancient emperor may say so, because he can say, you die, then you have to die. But today it's different. Who have this authority to represent all things? Only God. So this pearl actually to represent unity, to explain God's perfect essence and the mystery. God, he is the owner, always remember. when he say us, including everything, including the spiritual beings. So that's why, to my understanding, when God said, let us create man according to in our image, your own image. If you consider angels, the spiritual beings, right? Their likeness. Or their role is a summons. So as a human being, we are special creation on the earth to manifest God's glory. Just like the spiritual being, angels, the whole army of hosts, they're supposed to glorify God. That's why in the heaven, they always shout out, hallelujah, right? And then listen to this almighty king. They just have to receive it, the order, and then do things. Otherwise, they cannot do themselves. Okay? So this is the reason. And then, if you consider how God created birds, livestock, and animals, the words are according to his kind. According to his kind. All different kind, right? Species. Different, separate. But when God created human, he said, create according to our image. Our image. So it's in verse 26, he said, let us. But in 27, so God created man in his own image. His, singular, right? So the key is here. The law, actually, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. Male and female. Now, so God created singular, only one true God. And then God created man in his own image, male and female. He created them. So only in human creation, the Bible mentioned gender. All other things, doesn't matter, it's male or female, right? So we have to know our identity. If I was born as a male, then I'm a man, a boy. Don't consider I want to be a female. Okay? So nowadays, some people may just consider, oh, my parents born me in wrong gender. I want to be a boy. How come become a girl? You consider God create the gender specially mentioned in Bible for what? Because this is God's creation. God have designed for it. If human beings use their own way to change it, it suffer. Not only physically easy, but mentally it's very difficult. It's not God's will, right? So God's special mention here, male and female. Number five, only man is given the responsibility to subdue the earth and to have dominion over creatures in the air, in the sea, and on the earth. Right? So human being, we just like God's special work to represent him, to manage the whole earth. So we are praised, but at the same time, we has been entrusted with this important responsibility. So we have to take our part. God finished his work. He used his power to sustain all things. Then, as human beings, we have to cooperate with God. We are his servant. Follow his commandment. So this is the first human being. And Adam was created. And there is another. The later Adam will appear, Jesus Christ. Okay, let's continue. The second thing, the first garden, the Garden of Eden. If you consider this Eden, describe, you read it, right? In verse 8, from verse 8 to verse 15. This is the first garden. Eden means pleasure, happy, right? This is a garden of happiness. In verse 8, God planted in the east. So this God's special work. He created man and then he planted a garden for the man. So the purpose is to put man in. So garden first and then man put in. So Adam, he didn't worry about food. He don't worry about the environment because everything is perfect. Prepare for him to enjoy, to carry out his responsibility. Second, God make every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Every tree. So life is so easy, right? No so-called anything need. Hungry and then just tree, the fruit available all the time. Plentiful. And in the midst of the garden, the tree of life, and also the tree of the knowledge of good and the evil. Okay? So here I say the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In Chinese translation, actually, this is a misleading the reader. Why? Because he said, 分别善恶树上的果子. 分别善恶的树. But this is not true. Actually, it's a 有善恶之事的树. 善与恶, good or evil. It doesn't mean you don't know the good or evil. But use this tree, then you prove yourself good or evil. Okay? So, the tree, special tree, tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Special mention, just two trees. Number four, a river. A river ran out of Eden to water the garden. And then from there, divide into four river head. Okay? So these four rivers in chapter 2 actually is a meaning. If we take out this the meaning of the name, then we know what this river represented for. What is the spiritual meaning? First, pishon, bishin, means increase. So here there's a gold, all the precious stones. Okay? The second, gihong, right? In the bishin, and then the second, jish, 13 is jishin, gishin. Bursting forth, just like an explosion, mightily. Bursting forth. Number three is called, actually, he did care. Xi di jie actually means rapid, very fast, right? And Euphrates, fruitfulness, from fengfu the harvest. So this is a river. The river come out from the Garden of Eden, and eventually it separate from into these four rivers. So increase, right? Increase. Burst forward, rapid, and then fruitful. Just like this river, it brings this function. You can see the river is the Holy Spirit. This river can give us increase, can just give us power, give us zeal, and give us harvest. Okay? So it's special mention, these four rivers. Have a special spiritual meaning inside. So, the task after God put Adam in the garden, the task of Adam, verse 15, to tend and to keep the garden, he have job to do. He's not just there doing nothing. So, as a human being, we always consider doing something, not just idle in there. Even Adam, he was created, God gave him all the supply, so abundant. But he had to do things, you know, to fulfill his responsibility. So as a student in college, you're supposed to do your schoolwork good. Right? If homework, then you do it. If time for class, you go to. Don't just skip it and consider you can make it up. No way. Eventually, you will find out you cannot catch up. As a student, if we have to finish it, the semester, the class, you have to do it. If we cannot do it, then what? Ask. Right? So, remember our work. Then, if you graduate, then as a worker in a company, be a good employee, good worker, to do all of the job. Through this way, we can praise, we glorify God, actually. Otherwise, we mix the main point, right? So God gave task to Adam. He had to accomplish it. And then in verse 16 and 17, God gave him a commandment, right? So he had to follow the commandment. Only one commandment. And in verse 19, he had to name the animals. But you consider why God specially gives this responsibility to Adam. When God creates things, doesn't God have an idea of what he is going to make? Just like if you are doing, you have a painting, you have work, right? Then you know what you are going to paint. So you already have an idea. You know what you're going to do. So usually you have name first. So name is important, right? But God creates all things and just left this important part to Adam. Left Adam to name it. And then this has become the animal's name. So we can see how God actually shares his glory to human beings. So when we sin against God, that's why in Romans chapter 3, 32, he said, we are short of God's glory. That's because of sin. Right? God has a good purpose, intentionally, want man to share his glory, but we miss it. It's called sin. Okay? So, to name animals, you see how intelligent, actually, Adam, IQ must be very, very high. Otherwise, how can he name all the animals? Right? If as a parent, name the child, it's a big task. Don't know what the name should be, right? New father, flip through the dictionary, you know, search internet, I try to find a good name for the kids. It's difficult. Okay? So, the first garden actually prefigured the spiritual true church. In this chapter, we see how God already prepared the spiritual kingdom. It's a church, true church. True church. So this garden belongs to God. He's the owner, right? Like this is a church. This garden is a place of joy, pleasure, happy. So likewise, church is a city of God. It's a holy city. This is a house of God. So it must have joy. Make people happy and satisfied when they attend the church. They come to the temple to worship. So this belongs to God. And it's planted by God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, we are the fear. God working on this fear belongs to God. Number three, it's at the east. Special mention, the Garden of Eden. God made it at the east. God is the center, right? And he defined it's the east. So in Matthew 24:27, this is a verse. The lightning will come from east and then back to west. Revelation chapter 7, the angel come out from the east, right? And to seal all those who belong to God, Holy Spirit, a seal. Ezekiel 43, the glory of God come out from east. Isaiah 24:15, in the east.
God will call his servant out, call his servant out to fulfill, to do his will. So all this is related to the east. Remember, this is God's garden. Number four, God put the justified new creation who has the image of God into the true church. So just like God prepared the garden first and then put Adam in. Okay? Today, God established the church first. Then those who believe in Jesus become a new creation. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are all new creation. We are all new creation. All are new now. The old things past become new. Everything become new. So we are a new person being justified, sinless. We are holy. Then God put us into this Garden of Eden, his church. But if we don't really keep God's commandment, if we just like Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil, then we will be sent out. We lost the salvation. So in the Garden of Eden, in the true church, everyone is supposed to be sinless or righteous. We have to keep his commandment. If we don't, then we will follow the first Adam's steps and being sent out. No way. So if we view the whole church, the history, many people, they came to TJC to walk for a while, but not many years later, disappear. Why? Many of them, actually, they ate the fruit of the from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because pride come out. Doubt. They're doubting about God's love, God's creation, God's salvation. Doubting about how good is this garden, this church. How do you know out there is more, even better? So this is called someone maybe actually eat this so-called forbidden fruit. So be careful. You know, if we don't really pay attention to this deceitfulness, we may just eventually eat it and then sin against God. So have imitate, intimate relationship with God in the garden. In this church, we can communicate with God through Holy Spirit. We really can touch him, right? So he is with man. God is with us. Number six, every member is like every tree bear fruit abundantly. In the garden, there's also a tree, many trees. Every tree can bear fruit. So that's why in the church, in true church, every single one, we have to bear fruit. Right? Bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, pleased to the eyes, make people so joyful because we can see how life changed. Change person. So Galatians chapter 5, this is about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, we have to bear fruit also. So the fruit can attract others. You know, let's finish this verse. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Bear fruit because we are in the Garden of Eden. Every single tree bear fruit. Chapter 11, verse 30. 30, please read. Gabriel, please read. You're on the back. You read out loud. Everybody can hear. Wrong. Proverbs. Okay. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. The fruit. Okay.
The rest of the verse you can flip yourself. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is like a living water flowing out as a river from the true church. So, wherever this river flows, bring life, and the tree of life bear fruit. So, if you connect all this verse, Ezekiel 47 and Revelation chapter 22, you will see how this river, Holy Spirit, will just moisture everyone. Every tree can bear fruit. So this is the first garden. In the true church, there is good virtue and faith, just like gold, pearls, and those precious stone. So the river, Holy Spirit, will water it. Water it. So everyone, all creatures, live in harmony. Because in this garden, no so-called lion, tiger, all this, the animals, furious, and to devour someone, no. All can get along harmoniously. So this is the true garden of God in the true church. Okay, so we have one more minute. Let's continue the first commandment. In the Garden of Eden, there are two special trees, right? So through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God tests Adam to see whether he would obey his commandment or not. Purposely, God made it on purpose as a test to human being. Because God gave Adam free will. He can choose himself. Okay? So, this tree is special design. It's just like a key to show people whether it's a really noble, honorable or not. But of this is a commandment, right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Okay? You will die. Okay? Physically, also spiritually. It is not that God didn't want them to understand good and evil or to be able to discern good from evil. No, this is not the case. They already have all they need. They are smart. Adam and Eve, they are intelligent. Very intelligent. They know what is good, what is evil. But we will see how they do. Okay? We stop here. We will continue next class. Let's say a silent prayer. Amen.